My name is Kendall Rasnick. Now, we started off by looking at God. That's a good place to start, right? So we looked on the idea of the Godhead and Trinity in our last few programs. As you may recall, we saw that the word God actually just means divine nature. And, of course, how many gods are there? How many divine natures are there? Well, there's only one. There's only one. And some of the confusion comes in with how can there be three persons of the Godhead? Isn't that saying that there are three gods? No. Got to keep in mind what the word God means. God means divine nature. Now, there are three persons who possess that deity or that divine nature. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We do the same thing here with humans. We say there's only one human nature. You're either human or you're not human. There's only one human nature. But how many persons possess human nature? Well, there's billions of them. Billions of people possess human nature. So, how many gods are there? There's only one, because the word God means divine nature. In our last program, we looked at examples, or an example from the Bible, where the Godhead, or the Godhood, or the Trinity, we're talking about the same thing, was seen or heard all at the same time, and that was at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, the Son, was baptized, and after he was, we saw God, the Holy Spirit, or the third person of the Godhead, descending like a dove, and then we heard a voice from heaven, and that was God the Father, the first person of the Godhead, speaking. Well, we see that there are three members of the Godhead, or three members or persons that possess deity or divine nature. But what is their work? What work do they do? We noticed before that they were united. We saw that in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And that word one there is the Hebrew word echyod, which means united. Our Lord is united. Our God is united. And they work together. They are not divided like the Roman or Greek mythological gods that were invented by man. Those guys were not united. They would fight against each other, and their families would cheat on each other, and it was a mess. So that's not what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are like. They are united. That same Hebrew word, echyod, is seen over in Genesis 2, verse 24. In that verse, we see that the man and the woman can leave father and mother and join together and be called one flesh. So if a man and woman leave their father and mother and join together to be one, we call that marriage. When they join together to be one and they're married together, does that mean they have to be one body? They're surgically attached and sewn together? No, that word one doesn't mean one as in only one. It means one as in united. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 was a verse we looked at before, and we're going to look at it again. Because we want to look in this program as the work of the Godhead. Because when we see the work that God does, we'll see that each member of the Godhead had different roles to play. They had different jobs to fulfill. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, this is where we read, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, not only does this verse disprove that the earth and the environment comes first, because the earth was not created for man to serve it, man is to have dominion over the earth. Man is to control the earth. And that doesn't mean he needs to abuse it, you know, and take God's gift of the earth for granted. But it does mean that when man's needs come before animals or the environment's needs, then man's needs need to come first. Man is not made for the earth. The earth was made for man, in other words. But besides that, we see the Godhead working together. Let us make man in our image. Did you notice the plural words there? There's a conversation going on between multiple persons of the Godhead. Let us make man in our image. But we give the role of architect or planner or purposer to God the Father. And in creation, we may see here that God the Father is saying, let us make man in our image. So from what we can gather, the role that the Father seems to play is the one of planner or architect or someone who designs the plan. Now in the book of John, chapter 1, we see that the second person of the Godhead is what we would call the agent or executor of the plan. In other words, somebody who carried out the plan. So the Father makes a plan, and the Son, God the Son, carries out the plan. In John chapter 1, notice verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Okay, we know this is talking about Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, because later in verse 14, the Word being described here was made flesh. Verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Well, who was the Son of God, the begotten of the Father, the one God who was made flesh? Well, we saw that as Jesus the Christ. He was the Son of God. He was God here on earth, but He was also a man on earth. So let's look back at verse 3 again. We're referencing Jesus, or God the Son. All things were made by Him. So if God the Father had the plan, let us make man in our image, who carried that out? Well, that was God the Son. Jesus was the agent or the executor through whom creation took place. Let's also look over at Colossians chapter 1 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 14. In whom, this is referencing Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created. Do you see that? So, God the Father, if He had the plan, who carried it out? God the Son. So, what was the role of the Holy Spirit in creation? What did the Holy Spirit have to do? Well, usually when we think about the Holy Spirit, or the third person of the Godhead, we usually think about the idea of organization, or finishing, or polishing things off, kind of coming in and putting on the final touches. Have you ever heard that? Somebody who comes in who puts on the final touches and makes everything just right. Well, take a look at Genesis chapter 1 again. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it really may be that the Holy Spirit came in to finish off the work. In verse 1, we read God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, the Spirit of God is moving along the face of the water. And in Job chapter 26, let's take a look real quick there. Job chapter 26 and verse 13. Notice this, by His Spirit He hath garnished the heavens. What does that word garnish mean? You know, it's that final finishing little touch, that nice little piece of parsley on your dinner plate that just sets it off and makes it look so pretty in the picture. Like, oh, that was just the nice finishing touch, the nice little perfect little decoration there. So if God created the heaven and the earth, if God said, here's my plan, God the Father, and God the Son says, okay, I'll carry it out. Then what did the Holy Spirit do? He came along and organized and finished it and gave it that final little touch. Well, what about redemption? What about salvation? Don't we have some of the same activities being carried out in reference to salvation? Well, yeah, we do. Take a look at the book of Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 10, we realize that God had planned for salvation even before he created man. He had the idea of, I'm going to create man, and he's going to turn away from me and rebel and sin, and therefore I'm going to have to provide a sacrifice for his salvation. Look at Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, that means a plan that was before time, eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So do you realize God the Father had a plan for man's salvation even before time began? And guess who was going to carry that plan out? Oh, you guessed it. The second person of the Godhead, God the Son. We can see that even right here in verse 11. God had a purpose, and he purposed that in Christ Jesus our Lord. He had a plan, and God the Son was going to carry out that plan. So God planned for man's salvation. Christ humbly submitted to God's plan and suffered and died to make possible salvation. Remember, Jesus said, everything I do on earth, I do the will of the Father. The Father had a will, a purpose, a plan, and Jesus said, I'm here to carry that out. I'm going to fulfill it. We'll look very quickly at John chapter 6 and verse 38. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, we read, this is Jesus speaking, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So the Father had the plan. Jesus carried out the plan. So what did the Holy Spirit do? Well, he came along to finish it, to organize it. After Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came along to reveal the Word, to confirm the Word. We saw in John chapter 14 that Jesus is promising his apostles that the Holy Spirit is going to come after he left. They were getting kind of sad. Oh, we're sad to see you, that you're going to go. But in verse 26, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. How did the apostles remember everything that Jesus said? How did they understand everything Jesus said? That was the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came along after Jesus and finished things off, organized the apostles' thoughts, helped them understand it, revealed information to them, and what did the apostles do? They wrote it all down in the Bible, and we can now read that today. The work of the Godhead and all three persons of the Godhead in both creation and salvation.